The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 13. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us this parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So are you a weed or a stalk of wheat? Are you going to heaven or going to hell? Does God hear your prayers and respond to you? Or do you even care? You care when you're in trouble. You care when you're diagnosed with cancer. You care when your kid is sick or struggling. You care when you need a job or a miracle. You care when you're exhausted and just need a break. You care when you've really screwed up. That's when you care about your status as either weed or wheat. You know, I talked to Dolores Geisler the day before she died. She cared about whether she was weed or wheat. So who are the weeds and who are the wheat? Maybe not who you think. According to Jesus, the wheat who are going to heaven are not necessarily those who we think of as righteous, not necessarily the straight shooters or the morally upright, not by our definition. You know, a few years ago in our adult Bible study, we read and discussed the parable of the prodigal son. Most people assume that the parable is about God's radical forgiveness of a wayward son who disrespected his father and spent his money on booze and prostitutes. We'd say the parable of the prodigal son is about God's radical forgiveness. And it is. But it's also about who's a weed and who's a stalk of wheat. It's about who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And the conclusion of that parable is surprising. At the end of the parable of the prodigal son, the older son, who rightfully claimed to have never done anything wrong, refused to enter the party that represented heaven, refused to go in. Because his no good, drunkard, whoring little brother was in there. In fact, the party was thrown to celebrate his little brother. But it's the older brother who clearly deserved a party, who deserved to be celebrated because of his obedience and his faithful work for his father, who represents God in the parable. But instead, the parable ends with the law-abiding older brother standing outside of heaven, angry and refusing to go in, while the younger, law-breaking brother, he's inside the party that represents heaven, dancing, doing the hokey pokey or whatever they do in heaven. So who's the weed and who's the wheat? Well, it was the immoral, self-centered, prodigal son who entered heaven. He'd been forgiven. I guess he was the wheat. And the exemplary brother, who was consumed with rage, standing outside of heaven? I guess he was the weed. You know, in our epistle lesson today from Romans 8, the Apostle Paul uses a fascinating description. He refers to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The glory of the children of God is that we have been forgiven. Just like the younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son. We've been forgiven of our immorality and ugly self-centeredness. And the freedom, Paul announces, is freedom from God's judgment and condemnation. So Paul's saying that we who cast our lot with Christ, God will never reject you or send you away. You're truly forgiven and accepted by God, like the wayward prodigal son. That's the gospel. You know, I've been chastised lately that I talk too much about the gospel and not enough about the law, though that's not exactly how it was articulated. It was suggested that I talk about forgiveness, but not God's forgiveness of us, rather talk about our obligation to forgive. And we do have an obligation to forgive. It was suggested that I use my sermons to teach the men of the congregation to take spiritual leadership in the home. A legitimate concern. Or maybe I should talk about the scourge of pornography, which certainly damages a lot of people. In the parlance of theology, all of those topics fall under the category of law. What you should do, or what you should not do. What to avoid. What to practice. That's law. And it's the standard fare at the vast majority of American churches. It's the focus in almost every pulpit. And I understand the appeal of the law. For years, I sat in the largest church in Washington, Oregon, or Idaho because I wanted instruction on how to live. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Until I eventually realized I didn't do it. In fact, I couldn't do it. Our approach here at Christ the Vine is different. Along with many other churches across the country who also trace their roots to the Reformation in our preaching, we're very intentionally looking first to the gospel. There's a reason for that. In the world you live in, the law is all around you. Don't be late, or you'll lose your job. If you don't floss, your teeth are going to rot. If you don't buy groceries, your kids will starve. You got to lose weight. You got to quit drinking. If you just invested more wisely, you wouldn't be in the position you find yourself in. The world is full of law, full of do's and don'ts and reminders of how you've failed. The law is in the air. It's in the fabric of our lives. It's written on your heart. Read Romans 2:15. The gospel, however, the proclamation that though you are sinful, Christ died for you, that's an alien message. It makes no sense. It's hard to grasp. It seems far too good to be true. That God would come down from heaven, born as a human, and die as an atoning sacrifice for you. But it's the gospel that sets Christianity apart from every other religious idea out there. If you went to an Islamic mosque, the imam just might talk about your obligation to forgive. He might talk about a man's obligation to be a spiritual leader at home. He might rail against pornography. Every single religion has a code of law and morality. But only Jesus died for us immoral lawbreakers, like the prodigal son. The law is important, but it can't save you. Forgiveness, hope, and salvation come from the gospel alone. That's why we proclaim it over and over and over again every Sunday in the words we speak and sing. That's why we taste and touch it in the bread and wine, His body and blood given for you. So if you're in trouble, or you've been diagnosed with an illness, or you have a child who's sick or struggling, if you need a job or a miracle, if you're just exhausted and you need a break, if you've really screwed things up this time, if you're afraid of what comes next, if you're filled with regret, you don't search for a law to keep. You turn to God and appeal to His ever steadfast love and abundant mercy. Because Christ died in order that you be forgiven and live. At your baptism, you were marked as His. So you can rest. You can relax. You're not a weed to be burned. You're God's beloved son or daughter. Today your life has purpose. Tomorrow you've been destined for heaven. Regardless of what you've done or what you're struggling with now, God will always take care of you. Christ died for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. for your great compassion and mercy toward us. Lord, cause us to treasure what you've given us and not pretend that we can do it for ourselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.